Hey, how's it going? I'm back with episode 4 of the Cornfield Chronicles. I'm excited about it. I hope you are. Trigger warning, this is caffeinated Christianity. You know, when I was making the decision to come to Illinois for the summer, seeing as it's 780 miles north of where I live, I assumed that the climate would be, you know, at least a little bit different. I mean, kinda. There's been a few days where it has proven to be different, but man, this week, I feel like I'm back in the deep south again. It was 78 degrees on Monday. And it was literally like 98 every other day of the week. The humidity is unbelievable. Man, it's amazing how homogeneous the weather is in this country. I don't understand. At least closer to the East Coast. It's just so muggy, man. I don't know how much weight I lost this week because I don't have a scale to measure my weight loss. But I'm sure I lost a few pounds because I've never sweat that much in my life. I felt like I was back at football practice times, you know, 12 more hours. So that was pretty tough, but hey, I survived, and I'm doing great. Anyways, I digress. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity, where the coffee is always black, because creamer is for softies, and the opinions are always unqualified, because I'm 20 and have no formal training in anything but sweating. So, we're back. Episode 4 of the Cornfield Chronicles. My chronicles of the 2 months I'm spending in the state of Illinois serving as an interim pastor. First, our verse of the episode, Psalm 15, verses 1 through 2. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. I've really liked that verse because it reminds me so much of the fact that you can't just talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. In Christianity, you know, your life has to reflect Christ. Your life has to have fruit in it. Your witness is super important. Sharing the gospel is super important. So I've always been a huge fan of those two verses. So Cooper, what in the world is the Cornfield Chronicles? Well, if you're new, I encourage you to go back and listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3. Basically, the Cornfield Chronicles is going to be a series of podcasts where I chronicle my journey through the cornfields in Forsyth, Decatur, Illinois, serving as an interim pastor at Forsyth Baptist Church. I realized that if I was going to make podcasts and blogs throughout this process, they were all going to be in some part inspired by my experience here. So I thought, hey, why not just make podcasts and blogs on my experience here? So here I am, making podcasts on my experience here. So basically what I do is every Saturday, I go through the past week in Illinois and give you some highlights and give you my takeaways. So this is going to be the overcap. What is the overcap? It's going to be the recap of week 4. So let's go ahead and jump into this. This last week, how was it? Well, Sunday I preached Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 36 through 41. What I've been doing throughout this process, or what I'm training myself to do throughout this process, there's no real book you can preach through in 9 weeks. I mean, I guess there are a few you could, but you would have to cherry pick. So if I'm going to cherry pick, I might as well cherry pick the whole Bible. So I'm preaching one sermon out of every major section of the Bible. So I preached the Ten Commandments first week. That was my sermon out of the Pentateuch, the Torah, whatever you want to call it. I preached David and Goliath and you. That's what the title of the sermon was. That was my sermon out of the history books. I preached Psalm 14 a couple weeks ago. That was my sermon out of the poetry / wisdom literature. This week I preached out of the prophets, and so I preached Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 36 through 31. In the first half of Jeremiah chapter 32, God tells them, hey, Babylon is getting ready to take you over because you didn't listen to me. And he tells Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, I want you to buy this farm. And Jeremiah's like, God, why would I do that? That's ridiculous. Babylon's going to take it from me in a couple weeks. God says, no, I want you to buy it, sign the deed, bury the deed. It proves to the people that you're coming back one day. And Jeremiah's like, okay, that's pretty cool. I preach the second half of chapter 32, where God basically goes on to tell them, look, everything that's about to happen is happening because of your sin, but because I love you, I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to extend grace to you and show you who I really am, and you're going to be my people, and I will be your God. I really liked that passage. I really enjoyed preaching it, and kind of the angle I took with it is that basically that's the gospel, because kind of the progression God takes in his words is he says, you know, I'm going to restore you. You're going to be my people, and then by virtue of being my people, your life is going to have to change. And that's Christianity. You know, God saves us. We become his child, and by virtue of being his child, his chosen people, you know, our lives necessarily have to change. And so that's basically where I went with that sermon. It was really fun to preach. It was really, really complex. Something I enjoy about the Old Testament, but something that's challenging about the Old Testament, is you're having to basically take it and figure out, how does this apply to me as a 21st century Christian? That's a fun process, but it's a challenging process. I've enjoyed the last 4 weeks preaching to the Old Testament. This week, I'm moving on to the New Testament. I'll be preaching out of John, my favorite book of the Bible, for a lot of reasons. But which way back when, I promised to do a podcast episode on, never did it. So, whoops. But here we are. So, that was a pretty decent sermon. I don't feel like I did a great job with it, but in terms of studying the material, I really enjoyed studying it. God showed me some pretty cool things. So what did I do this week? Well, I ate lunch with Dawn and Steve Hutchins. Dawn and Steve are a couple at the church, and they just invited me over for lunch after church, and we ate real beef cattle steak, like fresh organic beef cattle steak. I mean, I could have almost cut it with a fork. It was incredible. You know, I just really got to visit with Dawn and Steve and talk to them about a lot of things for several hours. It was really fun, really, really good experience. Something I've really enjoyed since I've been here is just spending quality time with the people. I've eaten meals with several people. I've eaten meals with Susie, Beth and Nick Cavanaugh, Susie Spriggs, Beth and Nick Cavanaugh, you know, John and Cindy Chamberlain, Sue Barlow. Just not that you know who any of those people are necessarily, but just been really enjoying spending time with people at the church. I've gotten to eat with the Jenkins family for Father's Day. It's nice to talk to people who are firm believers, who are really excited about what's going on at the church, who have a heart for watching the church succeed. And honestly, I just love talking to people. I love talking to people who are older than me. They have so much wisdom, and I just like to ask them stories. I mean, I just think it's something I've always enjoyed doing. So I really enjoyed eating lunch with Dawn and Steve. I worked a 12-hour day on Tuesday, and that was rough, let me tell you. I usually work with two other guys. Monday, we had three. Tuesday, the third guy never showed up. And Tuesday is one of our biggest work days in terms of cutting grass. And man, we cut grass for 12 hours. And not only did we cut grass for 12 hours, but like I mentioned in the intro, Monday, it was like 78, 80 degrees. Tuesday, it was about 87, 90, and then it was about 93 with the heat index. So I had to work two extra hours in the sun on some big cuts. And man, my body hasn't caught up yet. I mean, I slept in yesterday till like 10:30, which if you know me, I never do. And I also thought about taking a nap in the middle of the day yesterday. Like, I'm still pretty waxed. Man, it was a tough week. It just got hot all of a sudden. And man, when you're outside like that, it's hard to recover from that, because it's just not been super hot since I got here. And all of a sudden, this heat wave is coming through, man. It feels like I'm at football practice again. It's ridiculous. So work was pretty tough this week, but I had a good time with Mike, the guy that drives my truck. I spent a lot of time with him. I'll talk about him more in a little bit. I successfully made chicken stir fry. Teriyaki chicken stir fry. It was fire, if I do say so myself. My buddy Keith came over and we ate dinner together and just kind of caught up on what's been going on and talked about some things. And I tried my hand at making chicken stir fry, and man, I'm telling you, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was easily like a 7, which I was impressed by. I really thought I would botch it, but I didn't. I thought it was pretty good. Keith said it was pretty good, and I knew Keith wouldn't lie to me because he's a pretty blunt person. So Keith seemed to enjoy it. He had more. I had more. Thought it was pretty good, if I do say so myself. I've never cooked it before. Thought it was kind of fire, which is good. To give you an update on one of my things from last week, I think I have successfully battled the devil's lettuce. And I'm not talking marijuana, folks. I'm talking poison ivy. It looks like the rash is deciding to dry itself up. And so that's going pretty well. My left arm is it's pretty much taken care of. My right arm, on the other hand, is still kind of battling through the rash a little bit. But man, when I tell you that's the worst poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac rash I've ever had, the thing was encroaching on my lifestyle. But man, you know what? Just as surely as the sun rises and the sun rose, the devil can't hold me back. Get behind me, Satan. I think I have defeated the rash for the most part. So pretty excited about that. It itches like a son of a gun now because it's trying to heal. But man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pretty good. Dish soap is the way to go. Dish soap and Tecnu soap are the two ways that I battled the devil's lettuce this week. So joke's on you, Satan. You lost this one again. The battle's already won anyways in perfect caffeinated Christianity style. So what are my takeaways from week 4 of serving as an interim pastor in Forsyth, Illinois? Takeaway number 1 is you can't do ministry alone. In terms of people who are near and dear to me, my family, my friends, and my squeeze, Sydney Kate Grubb, getting a lot of feedback from my family and her and getting a lot of input on things I should preach on and working through some thoughts and giving updates and just calling and checking in has really kind of gotten me through this process. I mean, like this week, man, this week was hard. Working so much and then having to come home and basically work again. It's hard to be motivated to do that. It's hard to sit down and focus on that. You know what I mean? Tuesday night, I got home. By the time I got done taking a shower and everything, it was 8 o'clock. By the time I got done making dinner, eating it, and cleaning it up, it was 9, and it's like, man, what do you do at 9? Knowing you've worked for 12 hours today, knowing you got to get up at 5 a.m., like, I basically rode the storm out, went to bed. And so, I've done a lot this week that's kind of gotten me down a little bit, and just, man, have my family there to really talk to. Like, I talked to my dad last night for an hour, man, just about life and my siblings and him, and because he's going through some stuff at his school right now. He's an assistant principal, man. Just, I realize you can't do this alone. You need people there to support you. You know, when people at Forsyth would do anything for me at the drop of a hat. I've really tried not to be a burden, and I've really tried not to need things because I realize they all have lives too. But man, I could call just any one of them at any time of day. And if I needed something, I know they would provide, you know, cause they've already provided so much for me since I've been here, so much. And I can't thank them enough. Without all of that support system behind me, man, I wouldn't be doing any of this. I wouldn't be doing it successfully at all. It just makes it easier knowing that you've got people on your team. It makes it a lot easier just to deal with. It makes it a lot better, a lot more successful doing this ministry thing with other people. Here's another takeaway that has really nothing to do with Forsyth at all, but I kind of realized this last night talking to my dad for so long. Man, my siblings are growing up, you know? I have an older sister. Her name is Molly. Molly's been married for about a year and a half now. She lives in Lynchburg, Virginia, works for and goes to Liberty University. And so, you know, I've watched Molly grow up because she's been older than me. So, duh. You know, Molly's a phenomenal person. But, like, my little sister is at a leadership camp this week that I was a part of for 4 years. And she was calling me and telling me how much fun she's having. It's just, man, you know, like her name's Emma. Emma has her permit, man. Emma can drive now. Like, that's just crazy. I mean, Emma will still always be the little curly-headed fuzzball that was running around the house and lip-syncing Christina Aguilera. But man, just watching her grow up and just become such a strong and so intelligent, so funny, such a beautiful girl. Man, it's just, it kind of hits you. I mean, my dad and I were talking about it last night. Like, it's crazy to think that now, you know, the kids I never changed their diapers. You can forget that crap. But the kids I was pushing around in strollers and, you know, playing with in the pool, you know, man, I mean, we're sitting around having adult conversations about politics and faith and culture. Like, that's just crazy, man, just to watch them grow up. I mean, is this what being a parent is like? Because it's a really weird experience. And Gabe, my little brother, man, he's so smart. I mean, you just sit around and you talk to him and just the insight he has on things. And he's only 12. Man, it's unbelievable. He's just so mature. My dad and I were talking about him last night, about how mature he is, about how he doesn't like silliness. He doesn't really like to get into immature humor. I mean, he's got his moments because he's 12. You know, all of us do. But generally speaking, like, Gabe is not into, Gabe's not into just being stupid for the sake of being stupid. Like, Gabe wants to, Gabe likes complexity. Gabe likes depth. It's just, it's wild to watch them grow up, because it feels like once you turn about 10, the growing up just goes up exponentially. You know, you can really kind of characterize the first 10 years of their lives. But after 10, man, it's like it all smushes together. Yesterday, it feels like Emma was 10. Today, she's 15. Really going on 16. Man, that's just, it's unbelievable. Makes me happy to see how my siblings are impressive people. I mean, I sound biased saying that, but all three of them are phenomenal people. They're all super talented. They're all super smart. They're all super passionate, and I love them to death. My dad and I were talking last night. I've never met a family like ours. And being away from them for so long here, because I went basically from college to Illinois, and I'm going to go from Illinois back to college, you know, and as a college athlete, I don't get to come home that often. And so being away from them for so long, I see changes more drastic because, like, you know, I see Gabe every several weeks, and every several weeks he grows 3 inches. So just telling my dad last night, I don't know a family that's like ours. We're so close. We all love each other. We just have a great time. I've never met a family that just has the dynamic we have. Man, I'm just so blessed to be a part of it. And that's just really hit me this week because I miss them pretty hard. And as I record this podcast, my mom and Gabe and my girlfriend are about an hour away from coming to spend the weekend with me. So I'm really excited. But man, just love my family. And it's just crazy to see my siblings growing up, man. It's wild. But let me move on. That was really long. My third takeaway from the week is extending grace to people is my fatal flaw. I told you about Mike earlier. And Mike drives the truck that I ride in to cut grass every day. And so Monday, like I said, we had three guys. Monday was a pretty big cut day. And so we got our stuff done for the most part. Tuesday, we were planning on having three again, and we didn't. We only had two. And so that just put us way behind. I mean, Mike was just having a rough day. Mike just was in a bad mood about it. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that I value relationships very deeply, even though sometimes other people don't. And so I really thought Mike and I were kind of cool. And I feel like we are. But man, Tuesday, he just was in a bad mood. It wasn't fun to be around. And I had a hard time cutting Mike some slack on that. And I should have, because I get in bad moods all the time. But I just, Tuesday, I had a hard time forgiving Mike for it. And then Wednesday, after working with him, and his mood just completely changed, man. He was cracking jokes. I mean, it was a good day. I really felt convicted by that. I was like, man, I should have reflected Christ better yesterday. I should have talked to him more. You know, I should have worked a little harder. I should have done a little more for Mike, because I realized how frustrated he was. Because Mike's a lot older than me, and so it's already a little bit physically harder on him to do what we do. And you know, I mean, he's your classic middle class Midwesterner. I mean, Mike's had some rough times in his life, and you know, nobody really wants to cut grass for a living. I mean, that's not what everybody wants to do. Mike had a bad day on Tuesday, and I held it against him, but I shouldn't have. And I've really been praying about that this week, about extending grace to people, you know, cutting people some slack sometimes. Because I have bad days, and I have moments where I get upset about things, and people don't hold it against me. At least I feel like they don't. And so, you know, I need to, you know, I'm going to apologize to Mike on Tuesday when I see him again for not working hard. I should have worked harder on Tuesday to help him out, because he's doing a lot. He runs our truck. He comes in early. He stays late. You know, he's got to pay for things. I don't. I'm saving all this money for an engagement ring. This is what Mike does for a living. And so I fully understand why he was frustrated. And I feel bad for not being a better coworker. So Mike, I'm sorry. And he's not going to hear this, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't work harder. And I'm going to apologize to Mike on Tuesday for not being a better Christian witness to him. I should have been. And so I feel bad about that. So those are my three takeaways of week four. Overall, man, everything's going great. The preaching's going really well. Well, learning the kinks of preaching is going really well. I'm not going to say my sermons are that great, but because I've only preached a few. But I'm really kind of honing in on my study style, on what I like to use, the way I like to go about things. And the system seems to be working pretty well for me in terms of getting things done as I need to get them done. My Jesus moment of the week. Wednesday night, I wanted to have a prayer meeting at church. Well, I say I was going to go over to the church because I live literally in the parking lot of it in the pastor's parsonage. And I was just going to pray over the church, pray about this whole process for them. And I just invited anybody who wanted to come. I realize a lot of people are busy and work and, you know, the congregation's not that big anyways. And so only had one person show up, which is fine. Not a huge deal. I was going to go regardless. I just figured I'd extend the invitation so they didn't feel left out. And Carol came over. You don't know Carol, but Carol is hilarious because Carol is super loud and has no filter. And so she says things all the time. And she just, man, she's funny. But gosh, she's got a heart of gold and just love her to death. She's hilarious. So Carol showed up and it was just me and Carol. And Carol and I just got in this dialogue about prayer, about how hard it is. You know, how sometimes we feel like we're sitting around just telling God what to do and basically just reading him a list of things. And so what I got to do is teach Carol how to pray the Bible. A friend of mine, his name is Thomas Broom. Thomas Broom sent me a book back in the winter from a professor he had at school, which teaches you how to take the Bible and pray through Scripture. And it's been instrumental in changing my prayer life because it really changes the focus of your prayer and it changes how you pray. And so I got to Wednesday night sit there and teach Carol how to pray the Bible. And that was a really fulfilling experience. She did a great job, and just hearing her getting to sit there and hear her do it. It was awesome. I mean, Carol did a great job, and she's got such a strong heart, and it was awesome. I really enjoyed that experience. So that was my Jesus moment of the week. Your CHH song of the episode. It is my honor and privilege to tell you that No Big Deal, my favorite rapper of all time, came out with a new song yesterday called MC Hammer. And let me tell you, the song is heat. It is a great song. No Big Deal is such a good artist. I cannot explain to you how good of an artist I really think he is. The depth of his music is unreal. All of his instrumentals are different. He changes his flow up. He changes his messages up. Like, man, he's a great artist. He's a great artist. When he came out with the album Solar last spring, my freshman year, that album changed my life. It truthfully did. The spiritual content of that album changed my life. God really used that to do a work in me. And so, man, it was awesome. He came out with a song yesterday, and apparently phase two is beginning. I don't know what phase two is, but I'm telling you, I need some more Dilly music to come out because I'm excited because that song was great, and he's a phenomenal artist. So, man, I'm hype about it. I'm so hype right now. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in again. Of course, I'll reimburse you for the brain cells spent on this podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CalfChrist. Check us out at calfchrist.com. Man, it's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ. John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners. Use dish soap on your poison ivy rash. And remember, the battle, it's already won, dog. 50 songs. Audi.